Well, I know it's hard to for some of us to do more than one thing at a time, but you're doing a great job at it. It's really hard to preach when no one's paying attention, too. But I think we're going to make it. We've been talking about an unexpected Christmas. We started off with the first part of unexpected news. In other words, when Mary, Joseph, Zechariah, and Elizabeth, they had news that they weren't expecting. Imagine Mary. How did she respond to that news? Joseph, how was his response? It was amazing. You had the young couple, and then you had the older couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, who had given up thinking about having a child. But the angel went to both of them because he had good news that took them by surprise. Then last week, we talked about unexpected guests. When people come into our lives that we never would have imagined that they would be here, but what a blessing. And who are the two groups of people that we talked about who unexpectedly showed up in their life? The shepherds. The shepherds, and then the wise men. And we talked about them and how God brings people in our lives still today. We used to call those, and we should continue, divine appointments. Now today we're going to talk about the third part, unexpected gifts that the wise men brought. They were very unexpected, to say the least. Now, what kind of gifts would you give at a baby shower? What are the top 10 gifts to do for a baby shower?
Diapers.
All right, diapers, blankets,
clothes,
onesies. Binkies. So how many have ever received gold at a baby shower? Moms, would you like having gold at the baby shower? You would invite that gift giver to every baby shower around. All right. How many of you received frankincense?
No.
Have you ever received a gift at a baby shower? Think, how in the world am I going to use that? All right. Myrrh? No, maybe, okay, so they were very unexpected. Now, we're going to read in our text this morning out of Matthew chapter 2. We read most of it last week, but I want to talk about what the gifts were and the Magi and how important it was. As you continue to assemble those baggies, let me read Matthew chapter 2, just the first 12 verses. Now, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. And about the time that some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is this newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Now, King Herod was deeply disturbed, and we talked about what that really meant last week, when he heard this, and everyone else in Jerusalem as well. He called a meeting of the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law and asked them, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote." And now he quotes Micah chapter 2. "O you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are not the least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." And then Herod, he called for a private meeting with the wise men. And he learned from them the time that the star first appeared. And he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I may go and worship him too." Was that truth?
No.
Verse 9 says, "After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star that they had seen east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them, and it stopped in one place where the child was." Pastor Ruth and I were saying last week, how can a star stop in a place? Do stars stop, and do they travel and stop in a place? No. Ruth and I agree, and probably a lot of you agree, it was probably the Shekinah glory of God that guided the shepherds and stood over there. Verse 10, and when they saw that the star, they were filled with joy. They had entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary. And they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened up their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. And so this morning, unexpected gifts, we're going to talk. The first gift was gold. Now these gifts, now tell me, I'm going to tell you right now, you think there were three wise men. Bible never says that there was three, but the tradition says there's three because they presented three gifts. Also, tradition says that they gave him, you've seen the jars, right? A jar of gold, a jar of frankincense, and a jar of myrrh. One for each donkey to, or not donkey. What do those Christmas cards show? Camels. The word just said that they opened up their treasure chests. Now, is a treasure chest a jar?
No.
It's a chest. It's large. Thank you, kids, for participating. Good example for the adults. There were multiple people there. In fact, we talked about this last week. There was probably a large group of people that came. Many, many camels filling many chests with all kinds of gifts. And the first one that they mentioned was gold. Now, gold symbolically is always given to sovereignty, royalty, a king, whoever is sovereign in the land. And so if you were a visiting king, a visiting royal, a visiting priest, you would always go to the capital, and there you'd go to the palace, and you would always, without exception, bring the king a gift of gold. And it was a gift to him, a tribute to him, and it was worth. Only kings were given gold. And the Magi, we talked about them last week, they were known as kingmakers. They were, in fact, royalty themselves, but also there were priests. Keep that in mind in a moment. The Magi knew that this child was the king of the Jews, the one who was prophesied to be born king of kings. Do you know that there are over 300 prophecies about the Messiah to be born? And what percentage of those prophecies did Jesus fulfill? 100%. How did the Magi know that this was the king child? Two reasons. They studied the Jewish rules. They studied the law. They knew because why? Because the Magi from Persia occupied Israel. And they studied their Old Testament, their writings, their law. And then, of course, the angel told them what to look for. And they were astronomers and astrologists. So they knew he was going to be born king. Now, Jesus, this is fascinating. He was labeled King of Kings, King of the Jews, at his birth and at his death. No other king of Israel, in fact, no other king that I have ever in history heard of, was prophesied to be born king and died king. Well, Pastor, what do you mean about all? How can you say that? Let me just read four verses for you. Luke wrote in the first chapter, verse 32 and 33, he will be great, and he will become the son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants, Israel, forever. And his kingdom will never end. Then the gospel writer John wrote in John 19:19. Pilate had a notice prepared, and Pilate had it fastened to the cross upon which Jesus laid, and it read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. John understood. Oh, let's go to Revelation 19:16. And on his robe, that is Jesus, on his robe at his thigh was written the title, King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Now, people didn't believe that Jesus was born the king. A lot of people didn't. Just like a lot of people today don't believe that Jesus is going to come back as King of Kings. But on his robe, at his thigh, on the right side, it will say, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, gold was given to Jesus for his role as king, for his sovereignty, And for someone to be sovereign, they must rule over. And what does the King of Glory rule over?
Earth.
Heavens, everything, and hopefully your life. So gold was an appropriate gift to Jesus because he was king. And then they gave him the second unexpected gift, and that was the gift of frankincense. Now, I wrote it. You can look it up there. That's how it's spelled, all right? When I was younger, I always used to say Frankensteincense. That's the only way I could remember it. And when I was going through seminary and part of the exiting survey or test, what were the three gifts? And you know what came to my mind? Frankincense or Frankensteincense. So frankincense was giving to deity only. What do I mean by deity? God. It was only given to God in worship services. And what Matthew 2:11 said, they bowed down and they worshiped him. The Magi knew it wasn't right. It's not normal to worship a man. It's not right to worship a baby. Not especially one of a Jew. But they knew that he was a God king. And that God himself came and lived among them. The Magi knew all the prophecies, and they put it all together, who Jesus really was. Even the Jewish rabbis, they couldn't figure it out, and they were trained. But these Magi, a monotheistic worshiping people from Persia, figured it out. What do you use frankincense for? When in the Old Testament, when they had the tabernacle, and then it transferred to the temple, the high priest would go into the holy place, and there would be the altar of incense. And only frankincense was manufactured and used for that purpose only. The high priest would literally on beds of coal, would sprinkle frankincense, and it would burn up, and the smoke would rise. And that is a symbol of God's people's, there's prayers. The priests praying for God's people that would rise up to God. And so the smoke symbolized prayers and God's people. And that it left the temple. It left where God lived. Because God in those days lived in the temple. But where does God live today? We are the Holy Spirit. We are the temple. And his frankincense, his presence with us, we make beautiful offerings or sacrifices to the Lord. Very, very important. Frankincense was only used for temple worship. You couldn't go to the Jewish Walmart and buy 14 ounces of frankincense. In fact, only certain priests were allowed to prepare or make the frankincense. And it would be like a parade of going into the temple area, into the courts. And all the priests would line up and take frankincense. And they would give it to the high priest. And then only the high priest would be able to take the frankincense and go into the altar and sacrifice it right there. So if you had frankincense, that means you worshiped God. And if you were to have frankincense, that means that you're a priest. Only the priest could handle frankincense. When I was in Israel this past year, I couldn't go and buy frankincense. But on non-Jewish places, I could buy frankincense. Makes sense to me now. Did you get that? Just thank you. Thank you. That was a good one. I know you're not listening, so that worked out real well. Frankincense was a controlled substance.
Oh.
Oh, you are paying attention now. And who controlled the substance?
The priest.
The priest. And who actually was able to use the substance? The high priest. And so if these priests, the Magi, they were, according to Jewish law, they were able to have frankincense. And then they gave it to who they knew was God, deity, and they gave it into worship. They gave it to baby Jesus. Frankincense. No one receives frankincense as a Christmas gift. So, the incarnation, God became man, laying upon him the glory of heaven. and the deity. It wasn't, Jesus wasn't 50% human, 50% God. It was 100% of both. I read an illustration last week. A little boy cried out for his mom to come to sleep with him in his room because he was scared. And she explained to him that God was always going to be there with him. So he's never going to be alone. And then the little boy said after a little pause, "I know he's here with me, but can I have someone with skin?" And that's who Jesus is. Emmanuel, God with us. It was appropriate for the wise men to give frankincense because that was Jesus' role as our high priest. Do you understand that? Jesus is called our great high priest. But wait a minute. Who are considered priests now? We are. Don't you know you're a royal nation, a holy priesthood? You are the priest, and Jesus is our high priest. And when we pray and when we give our attention to the Lord, he hears us. So that's gold. That's frankincense. And then there's the last one. MYRRH. It'd be like a good pirate theme there. RRH. All right, let's talk about myrrh. Myrrh was given to anoint someone who passed away. It was given at the death for someone to prepare their body to be laid in the tomb. Myrrh was used to anoint the bodies for burial. And in John, we read that the ladies, the day after Christ died, the ladies went to anoint his body. And did they anoint it with gold? Nope. Did they anoint it with frankincense? They anointed it with myrrh. Now, I read one commentary I thought was very interesting. I don't have any biblical support. Where do you suppose those women would get the myrrh? Do you think they got it from Forest Hill or no, that's Rose Hills, Forest Lawn? I think they had some. Wonder where they could have got that myrrh from. Possibly Mary and Joseph kept it. I thought that was an interesting thought. So they didn't bring myrrh to a baby shower regularly unless you wanted to give the mother a really bad message that you don't want to give. Imagine. The Magi sent a powerful message. This little baby was born to die. They began worshiping him as Savior. So the myrrh represents Jesus and his role as Savior, a sacrifice for all mankind. When did Mary know that her baby boy was going to die as King of the Jews? When the angel Gabriel told her. She knew she only had a certain amount of time with him. The conclusion to this gift, unusual gift, is real simple. God blesses us with gifts, not just for our own benefit, but for the blessings of other. Did the gold bless Mary and Joseph? Absolutely. There's a lot of debate about how much gold there was. One commentator says they received so much gold that it took Mary and Joseph out of poverty and put them in one of the highest classes in Judea, up to where the Pharisees were, because they were given treasure chests of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We know that after King Herod, we know that they had to escape to Egypt. How did they finance that? The baby shower gifts, the gold. One commentator says that when they lived in Egypt for a pretty long time, that financed not only their living, but also Joseph, who then established his carpentry business. Every time God gives us a gift, every time he gives us a blessing, it is to be for our benefit and for others. And this is really, really important to understand. Every time God gives you something, he gives it for you, but he gives it for beyond you as well. These gifts that the Magi gave, they went beyond their visit. They went beyond Egypt, and they followed Jesus to his priestly role and to his burial, where they anointed him, and those gifts were given to them. How many of you ever received a gift from God? Every good gift that you have comes from the Father above. Everything that you have is a gift from God. Pastor Tina has said to us on more than one occasion that she has a ministry that's actually outside of the church as well. And that is the ministry of lemons. Have you heard that story before? She brought you a gift this morning. Lemons. Now, you know it's a tradition to give citrus in stockings. Do you know that tradition? Now, tell us about where these lemons came from.
Experiences in California. It takes 2 years before they even wave and say hello. And so I wanted, you know, some way to minister to my neighbors, and I was teaching on use what you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have these two giant lemon trees that give way more than we could ever use ourselves or even give away to friends. So I started setting baskets of lemons, kind of decorated, on my neighbor's doorstep with a little note from us, just saying we just want to bless you with the abundance God's given us.
Amen. So they moved into that beautiful house. That was a beautiful house for that season. God gave them the gift, and they said, let's just give back. And so who's one person here you gave a special lemon to?
Can I hijack your sermon for just a moment?
Why not?
I have to tell you, one of my neighbors, the family is Buddhist. Now, I did not witness to this family except to give them packages of lemons. And one day, the daughter of the Buddhist family came to me and said, could I come and volunteer at your church? And I said, okay, let me talk to my pastor. And I met with her and her mother, and I said, why do you want to volunteer at a church? And she said, well, I want new experiences. And I'm supposed to do some volunteer work, and I thought I could work with the children, and if that would be okay. And I said, okay. So we paired her with Ashley, who was teaching the children. And she heard the gospel through Ashley, because she wasn't out here hearing the sermon. She was here during worship. And she went and heard the message through Ashley. I asked if she wanted a Bible, and she said, oh, yes, please. And I gave her a Bible.
Amen.
Now, I don't know what fruit came from that, but I trust God that He appointed those lemons.
I agree.
But
see,
I also gave them to my friends.
Yes, and so many of us have received these lemons. And so there's a really, really quick example of how you, whatever God gives you, it could be a lemon, it could be a Mercedes, whatever God will use. And so Tina gave one of these lemons to one of her good friends, Ruth. Now, hold on for a second, Ruth. Put that down. And so Tina's going to give you the lemon. And then these lemons will be left over as you leave today, so you can take more lemons. Ruth, come on forward. All right, so there you go.
This is all a surprise to us.
All right, so Ruth got a gift from Tina, and then did you enjoy that lemon?
I got lots of lemons from her, and yes, many of them I enjoyed.
Right.
But one
what
of them.
What do you do with a lemon? How do you enjoy that lemon?
Well, in the morning, most mornings, I will take a slice and a little bit of ginger and put it in a cup with hot water and drink that in the morning. It's really good for you.
What a good gift from your friend.
I know.
Right.
And I actually get so many of them from her that I juice them and make lemon cubes in my ice cube trays and put them in a Ziploc bag. And then when I want tea, I put it in the lemon cube in the tea or make lemon water or whatever.
Perfect. Now let's build on this. So she gave you some lemons. And then what do you use a lemon? You use it up. What do you normally do with it?
Throw it away.
But I believe every good gift comes from the Father above to bless you, but also to bless others. And tell us what you did with one of those lemons.
Well, one of them I cut to make slices, and there were four little seeds sprouted on the inside. They had little green shoots coming off of it. And so I'm a science nerd. So four little seeds were on the inside. And I'm like, whoa, because I've even tried to take seeds before and plant, and then they don't grow. So what did you think I did? I put those four little seeds in pots.
And what do you have next to you?
I have my lemon tree.
Where did that come from?
Thank you. I'm glad you're reading. That came from a seed inside one of those little tiny sprouts. Now, this one is about 3 years old. And, in fact, before Bill asked me to bring it in, I was going to plant it in my yard this week. So I'll plant it this next week. But it's the same kind of lemon. So this is, I jokingly tell Tina she's going to be a lemon grandma, okay?
So you see, God blessed Paul and Tina with a house that had two lemon trees. Both of them cannot eat enough lemons, but she decided to give back. And she gave back to Ruth. And one of them was a lemon that had seeds. And Ruth said, I can take this blessing, I can plant it, and then I can
give lemons to my neighbors too. I was really touched by that. And I have an orange tree and I've been giving them oranges, but I thought, well, I could give them oranges and lemons both, especially since I use so many lemons.
And now you had already planned on doing this.
Yes.
And so what did you want to do with this? And I'll hold it for you.
Okay, thank you. Well, this one is one of those. I had four, and two of them over the years have died. I do know why. I was thinking this morning, why is this one so much smaller? And it is related to the pots that they're in. So, and this one stopped, so I need to get in the ground right away. But, and so I was like, well, I didn't want to kill it. I just started growing it. Well, and don't you know, someone said, I'll take one. And so I am giving this one as a gift to Barbie.
Aww. It's heavy. Now, what do you think is going to happen to that lemon tree?
I bet you she's going to have more lemons than she and Doug can consume. And even Louise won't eat that many.
No. So don't take this too personally, Pastor Tina. Pastor Tina's got real good lemon DNA. Because God blessed her with a perfect gift. And that blessing came to bless Ruth. Correct. And then now Ruth has received that blessing, and it's going to bless
Barbie.
The Bowden home. And what do you think they're going to do with all those lemons? When you receive your gift again from the original gift that Paul and Tina got, when you receive it on your way out from the ushers, I want you to take the blessing that God gave years ago and continue to let it live. You see, I believe everything in my life is a gift from God, and I need to be a good steward of that. And if there's need, no problem. But there's also, I need to worship God outside of meeting someone's need. I need to worship God through giving. How many know it's more blessed to what?
Give.
Parents, you understand that, don't you? You understand that. And when you go down to Project 54, every one of you think, how in the world can I help someone on Skid Row? Mm-hmm. You're right. You can't. I can't. We can't fix those issues down there. But we're part of a family. Did you love that video from this morning? Yeah. We're part of a family that God says, whatever you have, if you give it back to me, I will give it on to others. Multiply it times 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 fold for the blessing. And I'm telling you, some of the greatest gifts that I give on Skid Row has nothing to do with my sermons. It has to do with being there for those people. And I learned that if I give God my time, my ability, He gives me the tools to prepare. And I love hugging those people. One of my favorite jobs down there is to be a greeter. One day I'm going to qualify to be a greeter at this church. I know I will one day. And I'm telling you, you get to know people month after month. And I know this Saturday someone's going to say to me, where were you? Look at these gifts that we have. Look at these things that we've been given. Look at the cotton ball. Do you know the cotton ball, it absorbs and then you're able to then spread it around. A lot of artists use cotton balls to paint with. It absorbs whatever it's used, and it spreads to other people. And I absorb what Christ has done for me, and I want to spread it to other people. And I know ladies sometimes use cotton balls for your remove your makeup, all right? You know, these Q-tips. Look at these Q-tips. What are they used for? I think we all know. You have to clean out your ears. They get into the deeper crevices to clean out. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts us of that sin. He tries to clean us, to cleanse us, and for His righteousness. And you look at the Band-Aids. Oh, aren't you glad God is a God of comfort? And He cares for us. And He puts those coverings over our hurts, our deepest wounds, our scars. And He loves us so much. Floss. How could... What's an object lesson for Floss?
In between the food.
He picks on you. He knows. He knows what's going on. And that one irritant, that one thing that you've been holding on to, that you know it's not of God, but you just hold on to it. You're just going to stick it up there and you can keep on going. I bet there's someone right now that's got something stuck in their teeth right now, but you're still functioning. But God picks on you because he knows who you are in Christ Jesus. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and there is greater is he that's in you as in the world, and you are forgiven. You are sinless in God's eyes. Do you know that? And he, his Holy Spirit, is going to floss you. Never thought I'd say that during a sermon. Amen?
Amen.
And the other thing in this bag, sanitizing wipes. These are unusual gifts, would you agree? Now, if you were a preacher, what would you say about the sanitizing wipes? God wipes us white as snow.
Clean you nasty.
He cleans your nasty. I learned that in seminary too. Sanitizing wipes. Come on, theologians.
He kills the germs.
Wipes away our sin. He sanitizes us. He what? Yeah. Sanctifies us from that which separated us from God. But now because Christ has come into our life, he says, I'm going to remove your sin as far as what? The east is from the west. All you have to do is open up Jesus. Let him come into your life. And he's come in and what? Wipe all that away. He says, if you confess your sins, he will forgive you. Sanitize you of your sins. Amen?
Amen.
But the problem is, and there's no more time for preaching, the problem is we miss some of our favorite sins and we go get that sanitizing wipe and we put it back on us. And God says, no, I'm giving you three. And so when you think about what Christmas means and you think about these gifts and you think about the gifts that the Magi gave, Christmas is not a holiday. It's a holy day. And he has given us the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. But I'm afraid we don't treat that gift of Jesus like we do the gift of lemons. For some reason, we like just to keep it. We don't like to share it. One of the saddest things I ever will hear said to a Christian is, I never knew you were a believer. You see, we've been given a gift that we need to be blessed with, and that's Jesus. But can we start sharing it with others? Can we start just being the giver of the gifts and let someone know that Jesus loves them this year? Wow, that would change the world, wouldn't it? Or maybe it would change the world for one person. Jesus is called the Tree of Life. And we've been given that seed planted in good soil. What are you doing with that gift this year?